Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Card, Brooklyn to the world. We're here yet for another episode as we come closing almost the end of 2015, our first calendar year. Pete, what episode number are we up to, kid?
32.
32!
Apparently, we do this every week.
And there was a time when we had doubters that didn't think we would get past two episodes. We now have 32 and counting, thanks to you lovely, loyal listeners.
That's right.
What's going on?
Especially in the UK.
I brought my asparagus today. Apparently, you know, now we finally have the official confirmation of the fight. I mean, we kind of already knew we were fighting. It's if you guys listen to anybody that listens to the podcast kind of knew that we were already kind of on that card. But we got the official announcement this week. I'm on the Anthony Joshua versus Dillian White card at the O2 Arena. Couldn't be more excited. Sold out. Woo! Sold out arena. The Brits know how to support their boxing. Yeah. I just wound up on an already sold out show, so I'm more than excited.
I got hit up on Twitter yesterday because they started, and all of you guys out there, we don't intentionally try to keep you guys in the dark by any means, but there's a way to go about these things. You can't just start, you know, there's a promotion to it, and you know, if we think we're 90% certain that we're on the card, doesn't mean that we can go and tell everyone that we're on the card,
yeah,
you know.
Because the promoters, sometimes they get mad if they want to put the announcement out. They don't want us to do the announcement.
They want to be the cool people and say it first, so it has to come from them.
You guys didn't even tell me.
Sometimes we're dying. It's so hard to keep a secret sometimes that we've thrown you guys little hints the whole time on the podcast. By the way, we have Junior Union.
Junior.
Hey, what's up, Junior? And what's your Instagram, bro? Because apparently he's
No more Instagram.
No more Instagram. All right, Instagram. Just @JaiDoesIt on Twitter.
Boom. Just Twitter.
I think his pee-pee gets him in a little trouble.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed to
have
Instagram.
But anyway, back to what we were saying. So we, as much as we want to keep you guys, sometimes it's such a secret. And I know when you get those secrets and you just dying to tell somebody.
And I can't keep secrets.
Yeah,
we're
not very good at keeping secrets here at the pod at Brooklyn to the World. So
it's really
anybody
hard.
That listens to the show, we've kind of given you the hint way before the announcement came out. But the announcement did come out, and now it's official, and the whole world knows.
Yeah,
boom.
One of your fans was hitting me up yesterday and was like, "Man, if I would have known, you know," he's like, it's been sold out for weeks."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Wow, is it really
scalp?"
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Rob,
if you want to get in there,
somebody,
get in,
just
yeah.
You know what I mean. Just
yeah, no, I totally get it, and I feel for those people. But you know what it is, the show sold out in 4 days anyway. So really, they just support boxing like crazy in the UK. It's something fierce, And Anthony Joshua's becoming a megastar out there. He's the main event. There's also a great card. I mean, you got guys like Kevin Mitchell on the card who I love listening to him talk and stuff like that. I got Josh Warrington.
Isn't Luke Campbell on the card?
I don't know if Luke Campbell. I don't quote me on Luke Campbell, but I know. Uncle Wilson, you know, Tony Bellew. Tony Bellew's on the card from of Creed fame. Everybody knows
Tony
Bellew. Tony Bellew, yeah. We got Chris Eubank Jr. on the card.
Wow.
There's so many names on this card that I probably am missing some, and it's just off the top amazing. And of course now I'm on it too, so I'm excited. A chance to fight for the EBU title. Tony Bellew's fight is also for the EBU title over at Cruiserweight, I believe.
And I'm gonna be in London.
And you're gonna be in London. Peter Cards making his appearance in London. Tweet him, folks. At Peter Cards, it's my partner in crime. At Jai Does It will also be a JY Does It. At JY Does It.
He'll be there with us.
He'll be there with us as well.
Appearance.
Tweet my partners in crime. They will be there. Nick Lupo 24. Nick Lupo 24, who's not with us today, but he'll also be in London. We're invading, guys. We're invading. It's going to be a takeover. You know what's going to be fun next week? It always sucks to make weight. Like right now, you know what I'm eating at the podcast? I have a plate of asparagus, some diced up avocado, and about a cup of lentils. You say, "Oh man, that's really healthy, Pauly." You know, like, that's how you make weight. Yeah, the problem is, it's so hard to make weight at 35 years old that even this food will put weight on me. And I have to go tonight and go for a jog and lose the weight I put on from this meal. That's what fighters go through. Annoying as it gets.
Dedicated.
Kevin
fighters.
Mitchell's fighting also.
Kevin Mitchell's the man. I love Kevin Mitchell.
Kevin
I don't
Mitchell,
understand half of the words he says,
Luke
but
Campbell,
I love Kevin Mitchell.
We said that already, but
Kevin Mitchell is great on the Mets too.
We already said Kevin Mitchell's
back
fighting,
in the day.
That's fine.
He was good two-sport athlete. Luke Campbell is fighting. He's punchy. He's defending his WBC International Lightweight title against French champion Yvonne Mendy on the card.
Luke Campbell's an Olympic gold medalist. He's a good fighter.
Is he?
Yeah. At bantamweight, in 2008, I think,
Very good
fighter.
Is he old now?
Hell no, bro.
He's Two Live Crew?
Luke from Two Live Crew is definitely old, yeah. If Luke from Two Live Crew will not be boxing.
Shout out to Uncle
Arena.
Luke.
Yeah. Luke from the Two Live Crew.
He is 28,
Luke Campbell, but he was in the OA Olympics, I know. I mean, he's not a fresh spring chicken, but he's a good fighter, and he's making his way up. And shout out to Luke Campbell as well. Shout out to just the entire crew. Shout out to Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Boxing. Yeah. Shout out to Al Heyman and Heyman Boxing for making it happen for me. I'm excited, man. I am really excited. I hope the Brits make themselves be heard.
Shout out to Gianluca Bronco for giving us the opportunity. And
He's getting paid for it.
Yeah,
so.
And we're going to
beat the shit out of him. Shout out to OB2000.
Right.
Christian
for making the fight happen and being very patient throughout the process and allowing us to go in there and beat the shit out of him all over the place. It's fun.
What's Salvo's Twitter?
He doesn't really go on a Salvo Jeb.
Salvo Jed or something. Salvo Jeb. My buddy from Sicily, Salvo, will also be with us, part of the Malinaji crew.
Did you see the shirts?
Yeah, he's already making shirts in Sicilian. We're gonna be wearing all over the place. I think it's gonna be a memorable trip. You know, it's always a memorable trip when I go to the UK. But I think because this is the fight and stuff like that. You know,
I'm already getting tweets about libations after the fight. So this is
as well. You should be.
Thank you.
As well, you should be. And I'm glad you are because the folks are ready to celebrate. Ready. They're probably gonna be taking libations during the night. I mean, when I worked,
I'm gonna have to catch up.
When I worked the Kell Brook fight at the O2 Arena in May. I remember plenty of fans definitely not being cheap on the libations. They were going heavy on the libations, and I even showed you a video of one of them. Remember, he was saying how I was the man, and he was slurring his words, letting me know how I was the man. And I secretly recorded him. I wish I had that video still.
What about when we were in Atlantic City and Lee Purdy,
yeah. He had some good fans, too.
The fat guy that had the giant British flag.
Yeah.
He was so whacked. He came down to ringside seats, which weren't his seats, and was just screaming, "Come on, Bernie!" He lost his voice because he was screaming maybe five or six fights before, "Bernie!" Yeah. So by the time Purdy actually fought, this guy was done. And
ossified.
Right. And you watched the fight.
The loyal fan.
To me, you ain't kidding me. Bro, you watched
He didn't even know what was going on in the fight because Purdy didn't have one moment in the whole fight.
He didn't have 1 second of a round. Yeah. And this guy's like, "Where are you? Who are you? Who are you?"
We're you got to keep him in the fight, bro.
Tommy filmed the guy. He started filming him.
Yeah.
Security was like, "Sir, can you chill out?" He's like, "What? What?" Like, can
the
I
loyal
see?
Fan. I want a fan like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was laughing. It was fun. Alyssa and I were just like, wow. And I was like, "Babe, these are the Brits, man. They have fun with it." Mm-hmm. And then the security guy was doing his job, of course, the fun police. And he was like, "Can I see a ticket stub?" And the guy was like 3 sections behind, so they made him leave. But he was like, he was there for a while. If he was a little more quiet, he had it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
he was there.
But that was the whole point of why he was him. He wasn't quiet at all, actually.
Fact.
Yeah. That's a fact. But anyway, so we're excited about being on that card.
Hey, can we watch that card?
Here right in the now, US? No American deal. Hopefully, probably it'll wind up on AWE or something like that.
Maybe online.
Maybe online, but hopefully, at least wind up on AWE, which is usually the channel here in the US that picks up the British cards. But we'll see. You know, a lot of times Eddie Hearn makes the deals fight week, so I have my fingers crossed that something could be worked out. Just a good stacked card, top to bottom. I think there's a lot of excitement about this card, and there's a reason it sold out so fast. I mean. Man, I wish more fans were like the Brits, man. I mean, they sell out everything, and you're gonna see they show up for the undercard. They show up the whole card. They don't show up just for the main event like the cheesy Vegas high rollers.
Right.
They show up for the Vegas fights. You know, these guys show up and pack the house very early. And I've been to plenty of UK cards enough to know that already.
I remember when we fought in Manchester.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, but I also just all the other cards that I've worked too. So I'm really excited. I'm excited about it, and I look forward to. Trying to get that European championship, which I've wanted. It's been one of my goals. So shout out to everybody out there, man. We look forward to it next week. Now, what else?
Junior's in the studio, like we said. Junior is my 168-pound prospect, 7-0, 6 knockouts. He's signed with Rock Nation. He was actually he was supposed to fight this Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to let you take this one, Pete. Explain to the people what happened.
We're going to let Junior explain. We were supposed to fight in, was it Claridge, right, in AC?
Yeah.
What happened?
What's AC? Let me explain to people what AC is.
Atlantic
know what AC is.
The Atlantic City Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And, you know, we were going to go and take care of business.
And then make it back in time for Chocolate and Jacobs.
And,
I'm working, by the way, this weekend.
Unfortunately, I have a cyst on my tailbone that had to be removed.
A.K.A. So his
butthole. Wow. As they would say, how's your keister, mate?
It's getting better.
It's holding up.
I've had bad days.
Yeah, I'm sure you.
My thing is, how are you going to sit on the airplane for 6 hours?
Right.
Going to England.
An inflatable toilet seat.
That what you going to do?
Yeah. I have to find one of those. Maybe
it seems like you got a problem for that trip. No?
Like you're sitting right now. Does it hurt?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
You got to stand up a little bit. Maybe you know, like sometimes you get the people on the plane, they get up and stretch.
That's me.
And they do like push ups and shit too.
No, I don't do the fucking I might drink
a bottle of ZQL before I get on the plane.
You got to wake up with a sore ass if you drink a bottle of ZQL and don't move the whole trip. When you wake up, your ass is going to hurt. No, Bruno.
I'm going to leave that one as it is. I don't think we need to add to that one.
Ouch.
I can't stop staring at the Nacho Libre mask in the corner. It's killing me.
Nacho Libre.
Oh, man.
I want to win.
It's the official mask right there.
It is. It came with a DVD, that mask. Sick.
Yeah. I'll take that with me to England and wear it in the ring. Thank you.
Seth, thanks for saying something. Go ahead, please. Speak.
What's your problem?
Seth is here, by the way.
Yeah, Seth.
Oh, hey.
Seth's here.
Seth's here. Hey, everybody. Hey, good to see you, Seth. 47 degrees out.
Actually,
hit us with the news.
Honestly, at least
I'm up in the chopper.
Honestly, the sun came out today, at least. Fucking speaking of 47 degrees. The last 2 days were miserable out here.
You can borrow that mask. I'll ask Taz. It's Taz's mask, yeah. He'll lend it to you.
I might use it in the ring, bro. I'm not kidding.
You look like a fucking moron.
You don't think so?
You look like a fucking retard.
Like a wanker.
Oh, wanker.
Well, I came in the ring with a mask last time I fought in the UK.
You also had a haircut in the ring.
Now it's just a bad situation. My hair's short enough where I won't need a haircut this time. But
you look like a bad Halloween
costume. He can give you a shave like mid-fight or something. Just get a different look going.
I'm getting a shave tomorrow. Touch up.
Yeah, I gotta get a haircut today, man.
Are you?
I'm woofing.
You woofing?
I'm going to Shine. You'll see my people at Shine Barbershop. Mm-hmm. 13th Ave.
You going tomorrow?
Yeah. Shout out to Ricky, my barber Ricky.
Yeah.
Since I'm 13, had surgery. So he's boy.
What happened to him?
He had this procedure, and then it, like, he had to go back for another surgery. So he's
all very mysterious. You know, really
You know what I feel like today? I gotta be honest. You know what I feel like today? I feel like it's Pete that's making weight. He's talking like he woke up 5 minutes ago. He's got like no energy at all. He's like, talk about Ricky, and he's had a surgery. What the fuck is going on with you today?
I'm on Quaaludes.
What happened, bro? What'd they do to you at work,
first
bro?
15
finish
minutes.
Finish that beer.
I was really working hard today.
Were you?
No. Yeah, I haven't gotten to take naps as much. Is that what it is? Yeah, we hired some new guys.
Because you sound like you just woke up from a nap, bro.
I took an espresso. I'm trying to.
You probably have sleep apnea. You probably have.
I don't do any drugs.
I'm the one making weight. I'm usually the less energetic. You know what I did? I drank a Manhattan Special. If anybody doesn't know what a Manhattan Special is, it's one of those coffee
soda.
Espresso sodas that we sell only in New York. You won't even find them in other cities in the U.S. Only
it's
in New
made,
York. And
it's
like,
I had that.
Blasting with caffeine. So I'm good.
It's made in Brooklyn.
I may feel down in another hour, but I'm good right now because I just had the Manhattan Special.
You're hyper.
Don't say the name again unless they sponsor.
Yeah, definitely. We're not saying the name again. But Pete, on the other hand, I don't know, bro. He sounds like he is on Quaaludes, bro. Are you on Quaaludes? Like Leo DiCaprio was in.
If I was a drug
in
user,
Wolf of Wall
I could
Street?
Definitely use a bump of coke right now. I'd probably be like, yeah.
We don't condone that kind of stuff, though. We're on Brooklynville World. Absolutely not.
No.
Stay away from drugs.
Get high on life.
Yeah. I get high on alcohol.
That's legal, at least.
Yeah, that's my route.
Way to go. Thank you. Role model.
So I know this is not usually like a political show, but it's becoming like a political show in recent weeks for some reason because of this crazy
shit going on
in the world.
Going on right
a lot now. Of shit going on in the world, yeah. So last night, what do we have? Another crazy shooter.
Couple.
Husband
and wife.
A couple. Oh, I thought you said a couple. Like, yeah. We had another shooter. I'll accept. What's going on?
That was a husband and wife.
Yeah, it was a husband and wife tag team attack in San Bernardino, California.
Yeah. So 14 people.
I had to actually change CNN because they were so stupid. So I had CNN on at first. And they're covering the story. And I know at first you don't have a lot of information. You just have a guy named Saeed Farouk. And, you know, you don't want to jump off the wagon and say right away it's a terrorist act and whatnot. So if you don't want to speculate based on names, I understand. Okay, so you don't want to speculate based on the name sounds Muslim. Understandable, you know, that would be jumping the gun. But then you start to hear like, oh, we don't know it's terrorists or if it's just a wacko, like, you know, because in the U.S. we do, unfortunately, raise these wackos for some reason that just shoot up college campuses and shit.
Most of them are white, usually.
Yeah, most of them are white, unfortunately, too. So you know, it's not like it's out of the question that it had to be a terrorist plot. So I understand you couldn't judge it based on the name. But then it talks about, you know, what they had an argument at a work party and he came back and shot the place up. But then you realize what he came with. The guy had an arsenal, AK-47s, two handguns, and these fake pipe bombs that he was keeping the cops busy with by threatening them, and then they couldn't get near him. You know, he was throwing these fake pipe bombs outside of his car during the getaway. Buddy, I mean, I know at CNN maybe they're not geniuses, and maybe a lot of the American public, I'm starting to notice, is not very genius, but at what point do you put the common sense together? And, you know, if I get into an argument at work, say I'm not playing with a full deck of cards and I want to come back to the work party and shoot it up, I probably go home and get my handgun if I have a handgun at home. If you have a trusty arsenal waiting for you with pipe bombs and all.
Did you hear what he had at the house?
The odds are you can't say at the house because maybe at the moment they hadn't gone through his house yet. But what I'm talking about, the information they had readily available.
Got it.
But the information they had readily available, he came back with pipe bombs and machine guns and all that. Guys, I mean, you know, usually a work argument comes in the past. Like, I don't know, like in the 80s, you know, guys used to get into an argument. The guy used to go home, get his handgun, and shoot the guy. Oh, man, that was crazy over an argument. No, this guy went home and got his arsenal and had his wife ready to shoot up, too. So already you kind of forget the name, forget everything else. I mean, you kind of already start to see that this was probably premeditated and you could probably angle it towards a terrorist act. Cut the fucking politically correct bullshit. I'm sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it.
But what kind of company was this? They hired, like, fucking John Rambo?
I don't know. you know who it was? It was the people Anthony hates. My manager used to own a pizzeria on Murray Street, and a lot of you guys might be familiar with it. It was like a big boxing pizzeria. And these guys used to always break his balls. He was part of the city workers, the guys that come into your restaurant. Yeah, health inspector. They come into your restaurant and they shut you down over like a crumb on the counter and shit. He was one of those people. So like, you know, figure totally normal, and then he's not totally normal at all, actually. You know, so I was kind of aggravated. Then they had the best part was then they had like these guests on. And this is at this point I changed the channel. They had these guests on, and they're like former cops, former sergeants and shit. One guy from L.A., one guy was from New York, and they're like talking to them and talking about how we have to have stricter gun laws and stricter gun laws. And the L.A. guy was saying how you have to have stricter gun laws for such and such reason. Then it was like some random guy who was saying that stricter gun laws maybe aren't always the case, and they were like burying them because, you know, apparently in America they think stricter gun laws are gonna fix this for some reason. Then the guy in New York, I don't know where he maybe he was a sergeant in 1885 in New York. I don't know where the fuck this guy came from. I wish I knew his name so I could call him an outright retard on the show. But this guy comes out and goes, now the problem is when I was a sergeant in New York we arrested guys for guns all the time, but then they just got out, they didn't get any jail time. I'm like, bro, when the fuck were you a sergeant in New York? In 1970? Right. Bro, I mean, bro, Plaxico Burress on the Giants. He had no prior criminal record. He shot himself and got 3 years.
3 years.
You are getting jail time if you get caught with a gun in New York.
That's
don't
a
fucking
law.
Tell us on national television, make people stupider by bringing a stupid-ass guest like this on your show and telling us that they don't get jail time for having guns, and that's the problem. Get the fuck out of here. Get these assholes out of here. Like, at least if you're going to have people on your show, put intelligent people on. So at that point, what do? I take my remote control and I change it to Fox News because I had enough of the bullshit. I change the Fox News and I get the rest of the news from there.
It's not that they're not intelligent.
No, they are. They aren't that intelligent. No,
they.
For a guy to say that,
stupid.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
No, the problem is the majority of the public is stupid.
Right.
Because they listen to this and they believe it.
They believe it.
The problem is because here's my issue with stricter gun laws. Okay, and I'm gonna take. I know I'm in the minority here when it comes to the U.S., but I think. The minority are the intelligent people in the U.S., unfortunately. And the majority are the fucking idiots, which is why we hired a fucking retard president. And he's been in there for two terms. Because the majority of you voted him in, you know? So here's the fucking issue here. Here's the issue I have. Stricter gun laws are a problem because the people that are committing these crimes aren't worried about jail time. Stricter gun laws only count if you get jail time afterwards, so maybe instead of getting 10 years, you get a life sentence of getting caught with a gun. Except that anybody doing these crimes is not intending to live past that day. So they could care less about your stricter gun laws, you stupid pricks. All you're doing is hurting the people that want to arm themselves to protect themselves. Because now somebody wants to arm themselves to protect themselves, and all of a sudden, they're going to get... have to deal with stricter gun laws if they get caught with a gun, and all they wanted to do was protect themselves. I believe people should be able to arm themselves. The right to bear arms is part of the Constitution of the United States. Maybe it becomes the Wild Wild West, but you know what? You already have the Wild Wild West now, and there's nobody that can help themselves.
Right.
If somebody starts shooting like crazy, nobody can do anything. Bro, if these guys know everybody's armed out there, I understand it's a different kind of risk you're taking now if you arm more people.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A terrorist cannot just go up there and start shooting everybody if he knows everybody out there is armed. Because it's going to be him with his AK against everybody out there with their own handgun. No matter, even if he can shoot more people, there's more people out there that are shooting back at him. You know what I'm saying? It's like the way, it's like when we used to always make the joke about back in the day when this still happens, but like the crazy white guy that would shoot up the school back in the day, or even now, you know, it's always like the random weirdo that shoots up the school. This isn't a terrorist act. It's a different kind of terror, I guess. And you always say, man, that shit never happens in the hood. Why doesn't that happen in the hood? Because in the hood, he wouldn't be the only one with a handgun. The guys would drop desks on the floor, hide behind their desk, and start shooting back. You know what I mean?
Facts.
It's the same kind of thing. These things would happen a lot less if people were allowed to arm themselves and start shooting back. And I know it sounds crazy, but what else are you going
to
do? Look what's going on in the world.
You go to
look
work?
At what's going on.
You go to work and you end up getting dead.
No, you get dead. Right. Yeah, exactly. You get dead.
Right.
Yeah, you don't wind up dead. You get dead. Exactly.
You don't even get killed anymore. You just
but
get
what
dead.
I don't get is what they shot up.
What do you mean, what they shot up?
Like, the place.
There.
Yeah, it's a party. It was a party. So I don't think it was ever a real argument. I think he just left disgruntled just to have an excuse to come back. Bro, he just wanted to shoot up a place where there was a lot of people. That's the place. That's the thing. Now you have to worry about going to the mall, going anywhere where there's a lot of people. You already have to like start looking at your surroundings. This is the world we live in. We have to look at where we're going. We have to be careful of our surroundings constantly because we are not able to protect ourselves. So we have to be able to look around and run off at any given second because some crazy shit might pop off. We're a few blocks from the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. Like, I know that's a beautiful place to go every year with a date, with your family, take pictures. Now you gotta worry about even going to the Christmas tree. You gotta worry about doing your Christmas shopping. What are we gonna do?
Stay home.
I mean, no, that's the problem. What are we gonna be, hermits? We have to watch ourselves. We're not allowed to arm ourselves. We're possible victims of everything. Our pets' heads are falling off. It's fucking ridiculous.
Like, why come I can't get B strapped?
No, seriously. No. However you word it.
Why come I can't have my own gun?
Yeah.
No, but really, you're talking about gun laws, and you make a very good point, but when they say stricter gun laws, I don't think they mean... I think it means more intense background checks, you know.
What, all these guns that are legal?
And one of the cops that was on the show yesterday, before I changed the channel, I got news to you. He goes, all the years I was an officer or whatever city, I forgot which one it was. He goes, I rarely arrested somebody that had bought a gun illegally. Bro, I mean, I wasn't the saint when I was in high school. I had my own handgun. Like, you can get your own handgun illegally. What is it with the, we have to make it more difficult to buy guns legal? Yeah, So guys will get their handguns illegally, bro. It's the same shit.
No, like, of course.
If you're in an urban city, you can go get a handgun 100%. Off the street, bro.
That's not what I'm... So, I know that. I'm just saying... That's what
making it more difficult to get a gun is still not that difficult. I mean, granted, I haven't...
But I think
had a gun in years, but
I think
you know
what
I'm saying?
Our gun. About. I think that's what they're talking about.
You know, our gun from, from Wayne's World.
Wayne, I got you a gun.
No, no, seriously. No, seriously. I don't have
a
gun.
I don't even own a gun.
No, but seriously, that you know, again, you want these rules to work. You want these laws to work. I just don't feel like they could. I don't feel like they will. Because you have these crazy lunatics who don't care about rules, who don't care about laws. So you have to... You have to beat them at their own game almost. And it's a shame. It's a shame. But otherwise, what are we going to do? Otherwise, we're going to be prisoners of our own lives.
Well,
like,
I'll give you a fact.
Like,
I'll give you
like,
a fact.
Think about the kids that are born in this generation.
I'll give you
like,
a fact.
People tell me, oh, Paulie, you don't want to have kids. Bro, like, I fear raising and possibly raising a kid in this world. It's crazy. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Pete. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm cutting Pete off, go ahead.
I'm doing tomorrow right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. If you notice, this is a fact, there's less crime where you're allowed to carry.
Yeah.
Texas,
you're right.
Arizona. You go to a nightclub, you have your gun, you check it in with security. When you leave, you take it with you.
Yeah. Those states, it's crazy.
That never happens.
That never happens.
It's just a fact.
Yeah.
Because, like he said, it's pretty true and it's obvious. You're going to be a big tough guy when you feel like you're the only guy that has a gun. But when you know everybody has a gun and it's actually shown, you go to Walmart in Arizona and the dude's walking with his family.
Oh, you've been in Texas?
She's picking out
the
like...
kid shot her own mom by mistake. Like a 2-year-old reached in and shot the mom and the mom had a gun sticking out. I'm saying that's an accident, but I'm saying she had a gun on her.
That's a fucking moronic mom.
Right, exactly. You know, a gun with a handy right
here. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you walk in Walmart and... You just see them with the fucking carriage pushing groceries or whatever they're getting, and they're strapped. You see the gun. You know, they have to reveal it. So if you you think you're a tough guy...
No concealed weapons, right?
Right, no concealed weapons, but you're allowed to carry. So, you know, you're sitting there like, you know what? Instead of road rage, it's all right. You cut me off. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Yeah, if I get out, this guy's probably going to fucking come out, you know, with his gat.
Can I say something real
quick?
Sure,
pal.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about terrorism and guns and murder. Just made me think about Christmas time.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, just made me think about, you know, Christmas spirit. And, you know, we got a couple more gifts. We're doing our gift thing, our Amazon gift thing.
Yeah.
You guys wrote down a few things. A couple of these are classics. You get the soccer cleats, the Ronaldo soccer cleats, the
CR7s. Baby.
CR7s.
Those are awesome.
What's underwear, too, right?
He's got underwear.
He does have underwear.
He does. Okay.
They don't sell them here.
That's not part of our list, but if you want the underwear, too, go Google that shit.
No, they're not on the list because they don't sell them here, but they sell them in Europe, yeah.
Oh, they're with the fucking hammock?
They're cool, man.
You got the hammock with the cool, you know, it's got like a breeze technology
My girl's allowed to follow him on Instagram, and
That's nice of you.
Yeah, I said, check him out in his undies. I said, I like those undies.
Father of the year.
She was like, oh, yeah, those are nice underwear. Meanwhile, she's... checking out his package and his fucking...
what? How old's your daughter?
No, my girl.
I thought you said your daughter.
Yeah, my daughter.
What's wrong with you?
No, my girl... my daughter's 9. She don't have Instagram. no, my girl. And she was like checking out his fucking washboard stomach.
Just like yours.
This guy's still eating.
He's hungry. Jeez. Leave him alone.
Yeah, I mean, so...
Fruit. Are you done? That's it? You done with your girl in the package and Ronaldo? Is he on her list? Do you guys have a list, the two of you? Like, you could sleep with these famous people and she could sleep with those famous
people?
If
my girl slept with anybody, I don't care who it is, she's out.
She's out where? Like, dead?
Bye, Felicia.
She dead? What'd I say? She'd get dead?
She'd get dead.
All right, two other gifts are classic DVDs. Raging Bull DVD. Which
is classic. If you still have not seen Raging Bull, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Right. It's in black and white, Martin Scorsese. I actually wrote a report on it in college. I wrote a whole report on the movie, yeah. How, you know, whenever they shot his wife, they shot her up like she was angelic. They made her look like an angel, and she was always in white.
She was angelic, actually.
Kathy Moriarty.
She was pretty hot.
The actress,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
The real big film model was hot too, though.
Great movie, great acting. I mean, it's. You want to see a real boxing movie? That's like, is there anything better than that?
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah. And of course, you got Goodfellas on here, which we quote
that's
weekly.
What I'm saying. Yeah. You gotta
these movies like we could you can watch the same movies over and over again. You never get tired of them.
Yeah, if you don't have them in the house,
that's a man, Pete.
You're insane, right? Exactly.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, you still haven't watched Easy Money.
No, you're right.
But I will this after this fight. I will.
And you still haven't watched Focus.
Yeah. All right, guys, for these three things, CR7 soccer cleats, the Raging Bull, and Goodfellas DVDs, they're going to be linked in the description on play.it for this podcast, this episode. There will be hot links on play.it. Also, if you go to iTunes, you just got to hit view full description. There will be a full click on links there as well.
So, yeah, go
it's
click
Christmas
on
time.
It. It's you know, a nice gift.
If you can't buy a gun, buy a DVD.
Yeah. Right?
Get some cleats.
Put down the guns. Watch Goodfellas. There's enough guns in there.
Just love each other. Everybody laugh.
Buy
have a good
Cristiano's
time.
Cleats and kick somebody in the balls.
That doesn't
old
have a,
school.
That doesn't have a gun. Yeah.
Right.
Don't kick someone in the balls that
has
a gun.
A gun, you're yeah. fucked. Yeah. speaking of, what was the guy's name that shot everybody yesterday?
Saeed Farouk.
Saeed Farouk.
And you heard like the house they had more ammunition, like they had tons of ammo.
That's what I'm saying.
And bombs
this,
and all
this company fucking hired Rambo, but Saeed Farouk. I hate to like profile people, but that's
Mr. Farouk.
That's a, you know that's like one of those
racial
names,
profiling.
Yeah, man,
this is not good.
I think we kind of know
his character. No, but you know, like
not just from his name. I think we went over why.
Tashfeen Malik as well.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, you could tell, like I don't want, I hate to say it, but you could kind of tell by their names, and, you know, it's, like, crazy.
Tell
but
what?
You know what? Virgin Airlines, they, like, they profile, man. They'll tell you, like, you're not getting on the plane, bro. Like, what's your name? Saeed what? Nah. Where you going? Nah, not today, bro. You know, and the guy's like, yeah, they have, like, a case right now, This lawyer had a name that they
this
found.
To the point where it's a shame that the world has come to this. But
right.
What can we do? Why should you know? Better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah. That's like we're flying. You know, we're gonna fly to London. You know, and you know,
say if we were on an airline that did that,
right?
That would be
you know his trainer.
My trainer's Egyptian. Did they let him?
He's Egyptian.
In?
His name is Sharif Younan. Like, no, but I'm his trainer. Yeah, I know, and I'm Derek Jeter, buddy. Get the fuck out of here. You're going anywhere.
I hope that doesn't happen.
We'll just have Junior work the corner with Pete.
Yeah, but I'm going
to... Yeah, his name...
They're going to stop me when they see my last name. No.
See, yeah. His name is Junior Younan. It's not Sharif Younan Jr. People get confused. His name is Junior Younan. So his father named him Junior on his birth certificate. It's not Sharif.
He's so smart, Pete.
I'm going to be like, there is no relation.
I'm so smart. How do you spell his name, you fucking genius? I'm setting up flight itinerary. This guy's fucking texting me mad while I'm...
While you're driving.
You're driving?
No, he's full of shit. You have it stored in your phone that way, you dumb fuck. Who are you kidding? You were driving. Yeah, I know. It's, you gotta fix the itinerary. His name is spelled Sharif. I'm like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. He capitalized the A, and it's not with the E. And he capitalized the E. I'm like, this fucking kid is a moron, man.
That's not nice.
You're
but it
so
is with the E.
Dumb. It is with an E. He's telling me it's with an A.
Nice,
but you don't have to call him names.
He's fucking dumb, bro.
That's not nice.
And the more he makes weight, he gets dumber.
Well, yes.
I do lose.
And then he's watching CNN.
I mean, great
on top of it. No, and then you're watching CNN. What the fuck are you doing to yourself? I worry about you.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
You know, I don't want to.
Honestly, CNN is not my regular watch list, but because of all this crazy shit, I feel like I should watch CNN, you know?
Don't say watch list here. Yeah, it's too soon.
No. Well, but honestly, I feel like knowledge is power now. You gotta, we're going to England next week and we're excited about it, but, you know, it's crazy, you know, because now
it's a scary.
Got the Royal Air Force just bombed Syria. So now, you know, we're going to England and ISIS is making threats to England about.
They've been making threats for about 3 weeks now.
I know, but one of these days, I just don't want to be there when they actually pull off the threat. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying.
I don't need
that in my life, you know? Like, I'm watching the Italian news today. I'm at my grandfather's house. And the good thing about watching foreign news, like, he gets a satellite from Italy, so he gets, like, legit Italian news. The good thing about watching foreign news is you don't get the full U.S. propaganda. You also get, like, the other versions of the news as well. And they're still talking about how Putin is talking about how enough is enough and we got to stop with the on-the-low support of terrorist propaganda, like supporting Turkey, who buys oil from ISIS, so we're actually supporting ISIS by supporting Turkey and continuing to allow Turkey to buy oil from ISIS, and we're sitting there still protecting that thing. So it's actually like a merry-go-round. And
no, it's like a circle.
It's like a circle. It never ends. Yeah. What movie was that from? Chuck and Larry.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yeah, it's like a circle. It's like exactly. A circle. It never ends.
Like a triangle have ends.
Yeah.
It's a circle. It never ends.
It never ends. Yeah, and that's the problem. And Putin is sitting there like, guys, we need this to end. We make it a triangle.
but it's a circle.
But it's a circle.
But wait, do you think Putin ever watched I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry?
No.
Probably not, but I agree with Putin, though.
I
think Putin's the man. Like, I think Putin is...
I wouldn't say he's the man, but...
I don't give a fuck what kind of strict rules he has. In this day and age, that's how you have to rule.
Yeah,
no, he is. And he doesn't take
any bullshit. Fight is in Russia.
Right? He doesn't take any bullshit.
Well, you'd fight in Russia.
Yeah, but you don't know how he takes care of
I don't know
people.
That if I'd fight a Russian in Russia, because then I'd have Putin against me. I don't know if Putin is the kind of guy I want against me.
Good point. You know what I mean? You don't know how he treats his people, though. You're talking about him politically.
He's saying on this particular thing.
Yes. Oh, of course.
I don't know how he
treats
his people, but I've heard some good and I've heard some bad. Buddy, the girl I was banging in Ukraine has a sister in Moscow. She never stops raving about how awesome Russia is. Okay? So that she would move there.
Yo, Roy Jones is a Russian citizen.
Exactly. So don't tell me about how Putin...
Exactly. Yeah, I know.
They got Roy Jones.
Yeah, guys, broke guys. He'll fucking do anything.
You're going to sit here telling me Obama's better than Putin? Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Get out of here.
I want to hear more about this girl from Ukraine.
Let's bring about the guy we have instead.
No, I didn't say that.
It's not all good about Putin, but bring about Obama. Yeah, the guy we have is really doing... He's a real winner. I know.
They're all a bunch of assholes. We just need some world peace, man. Everybody's got to calm down. We got to kill all these terrorists.
That's not going to happen.
Wipe them out.
The whole world peace thing?
We need Trump.
You heard it when
there you
we were
go.
Hanging
Child
out.
Bomb.
It's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I know. Those people came here when the Soviet Union fell. They were talking about Russia now. I know. They're talking about Russia in 1990.
No, they're talking about Putin.
I know. They're talking about Putin. I know.
But they know more than you.
Maybe. How long they've been here, though?
Forever, but the same way you watch the
news. They willed in Russia during the Soviet Union era, bro. They're going to talk about Russia during the Soviet Union era compared to now? It's not the same Russia.
Why would they be comparing it to Soviet Union?
Because that's when they were. That's like the Italians that live here. When we're Italian, like we talk about the Italians that live here. They still talk about Italy like it's 1960, bro.
But they were talking about Putin.
They were talking about Putin, yeah.
Not about Russia. They were talking about Putin.
I know, and I was talking to people about Putin, too. And they were telling me how awesome it is in Russia. So, like I said... There's some good and some bad, just like in every other opinion of all things in life. Some are going to be good, some are going to be bad. Based on what I've heard and seen and can see with my own eyes, I'd rather have Putin over Obama any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, sure.
I'd rather. Oh, not just for the way he rules, he's stern, he's sure of his decisions, unlike the guy we have, who one day he's like this, one day he's like that. And you know what? He don't take no bullshit. He just needs allies like him. Sitting here like, oh... I have the plan here, guys. What are we doing? And the U.S. is playing double-facing it.
Let me be
clear.
The U.S.
double-facing and the U.S. double-talks them, though. You know what I mean?
What did Obama say? He goes, we plan to have a steady plan. We don't want to put the cattle before the horse. And we actually don't have a plan right now, but we're going to be working that out soon. I'm like...
Sounds like Sam Watson.
Did you just say that publicly as the president of this country? Like,
he's all checked out, you know, second term.
But I'm saying, I don't care what you are. You know, another thing. Excuse my ignorance.
That's why in this second term, never give a shit. Nah. They can't get a third one anyway.
Excuse my ignorance. I may just not know this is like a rule. But no, seriously.
You know.
I get an update on my phone yesterday from CNN. It says that England voted unanimously to attack or bomb Syria. Why is it so public?
Yeah, wait, tell everybody.
Hey, we're gonna bomb you. All right, guys, we just voted. We're bombing you guys. Okay,
send it
out. Let everybody know. Why is it like that? Yeah. Like, you know, we watch mobster movies and. Like, people get clipped, and they never fucking know about it.
The gun was hidden in the bathroom from Michael. Yeah. Right? Yeah, Michael went in the bathroom and got the gun.
Yeah,
they hid it there. It was a sneak attack.
Okay, ISIS.
Right, Michael Corleone?
Yeah, that was back in that.
He didn't announce it. Hey, guys, I'm going to the bathroom to get a gun, and I'm come back and shoot you.
Ring, ring, ring. Hello? Yeah. ISIS? Yeah. Okay, listen. This shit is really fucked up. We were talking about it. I don't think there's any other way to resolve it, so we're going to start bombing you motherfuckers. All right? That's it. I'm tired of the threats and this and that, you know. I'm sending a tweet about it, so you guys are all here about it. Start spreading the word if you guys want to start putting up a wall or something. Whatever you guys do over there, and start building shit. I don't know what you guys do. Sell a little more oil. We'll give you time to prepare for it, but just let you know that we're going to start bombing, motherfuckers.
Kiss my ass. Click.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
That's good. You're right.
I'm
what's
like,
with all the announcements?
I'm like, why is this on CNN?
You know? Then Anonymous coming out with the video.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
They're the best.
That's the hackers. That told you, the hackers on Twitter. Remember, I told you they hacked.
What happened
now? They hacked ISIS. So anytime they try to send a verified tweet, it played Rick Astley video. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna give. Never gonna give.
Get out of here.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did talk about it. I don't know what's that.
They do better job than our country does. Yeah, slowing them.
We need those guys. Those guys are legit. You know,
actually, they are.
A lot of them. A lot of
all the old time criminals. All criminals we could actually use. Like, the old-time gangsters, if you would have left them alone, we could probably use them and their street intelligence
but
to deal
you,
with this shit.
Did you see the...
hackers, new time, or, like, modern criminals, we could probably use their intelligence. Go ahead.
Did you see the Gambino?
Well, that was a fucking idiot.
I know, but you saw what he said.
Yeah, I know. But the Gambino's laughing at him. I can't even take that seriously. Stop. Come on, bro. I mean, that kid is actually like a nice kid. He's like, but he reads too many mafia books because he's not involved in it at all. Yeah. Yeah. He just all his knowledge is based on reading.
He was
literature.
On the news saying we're gonna take the streets
I know.
Storm.
Exactly. That's the whole problem with him. he reads too many mafia. You watch Goodfellas one too many times.
I got some nice outfits down the alley. Come down the alley.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do with first? It's the dead of summer. What am I gonna do with
come,
coats?
Come on. We'll try that.
Put them in the freezer. I'm gonna hang them with in the locker with the meat.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, you didn't talk about boxing. Want to talk about some boxing?
Yeah, we didn't talk about boxing.
Your boy Vladimir. I was thinking about you.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Don't talk about that.
That's a fuck.
Don't talk
about that.
Fuck you, man.
I told you.
What are you talking about? I told you.
You told me a lot.
Yeah, I told you was going to beat Mayweather.
No, I didn't say that. I made up for my Cotto Canelo prediction.
Yeah, Cotto was going to be Canelo.
That was a bad one.
I made up for it.
That was
bad. This kid is... Like, you watch him fight, and you're like, wow, this kid's amazing. Like, he's really good. He knows everything about boxing.
I do.
You don't know fucking shit.
So we watch fights at the house. You can't pick him.
We watch fights at the house, and we're judging the fights together. Me and Paulie usually are, like, almost the same most of the time. Mm-hmm. And this kid's
Hold
like...
Hold on. I had the same score for Cotto Canelo as him.
Huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the fight was going,
it was 7-5.
Yeah, I know. You started.
I had it 7-5.
Yeah, you started to be like, all right. Yeah.
Because Canelo started taking over. It was 7-5. You had it fucking what?
8-4.
No.
8-4.
No. You didn't give Cotto a round, so maybe the fucking sixth round.
No, I gave him like the third or the fourth, or whatever it was. But,
You're only as good as your last performance, though. So your last performance was Klitschko.
Yeah. Big time.
You bet Klitschko?
Like a motherfucker.
And
Locksmith
did. I did tell you Fury was going to win the fight.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I put a small wager on Klitschko, too. Got to be honest.
I'm sorry, guys. If I knew that, I would have been
for
Klitschko.
But I got it back on James DeGale that night, so I was
yeah,
all
right. Me too. Nice. Yeah. James DeGale. And you know it's
Chunky! Chunky!
He bailed you out.
Yeah, he did. And listen, everybody, his fans started hitting me up on Twitter. You don't want to give any of us Brits credit. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm the one that's always saying Kel Brook is probably the best out there.
In the
James
best division.
James DeGale is a fucking savage. David Haye is one of my favorite fighters. I love British fighters. But I'm sorry. To me, Tyson Fury sucks. He's a big doofus.
He's a funny motherfucker. Though.
Yeah.
He's annoying, though. He just comes
imagine the press conference between him and Shannon Briggs.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
Hey, what was Vladimir doing? I mean, he was just
nothing.
Like, but that's what you guys, you know, you give him a lot of credit because he hasn't lost a fight in 11 years. And you say he's very effective. But as a boxing fan, I don't like seeing a guy who's that capable, he's so strong, and he's too careful, and that's boring.
Well,
like, his fights have been boring to me.
Yeah, of course. I'm not gonna take away Paulie's segment on this part. I'm gonna let him do his thing, and then I'll have my rant.
Okay, so I obviously didn't see Klitschko Fury right when it happened. I was preparing for the broadcast. I was in Canada at the arena and doing, you know, we prep and we do rehearsals for the broadcast at nighttime. So I was preparing for the DeGale versus Butte card. So I was hearing things about the fight online, on Twitter and whatnot, and, you know, then the next day, obviously, there was a lot of talk. And I remember I was a guest on BBC Radio call the next day, and they had Deontay Wilder on. They had Dan Rayfield on, and they had a few different people on. And I remember Dan Rayfield saying on there how none of them deserved to win because nobody did anything, and it was a very boring fight. Now, a lot of, you know, I'm cool with Dan, but a lot of times I tend to disagree with
he's a fucking moron.
With his perception of certain fights. So I didn't want to jump the gun. Obviously, as I was imagining what might have happened, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe Klitschko had a bad night because everybody's just saying how it was a terrible fight. But when I got home and I actually watched the fight, okay, if you're looking for two guys beating each other up, yeah, okay, maybe you didn't get what you wanted. But as I watched the fight, I started realizing that there was a distinct game plan for Tyson Fury. And the fight went exactly as he wanted it to go. Tyson Fury never planned to punch a hole through Klitschko or to beat the life out of Klitschko. Maybe he talked that way just to get in Klitschko's mind, maybe to promote the fight or whatnot. But you could tell the way Tyson Fury was fighting, the plan to execute was always to frustrate Klitschko, break his rhythm, take him off his game, and continue to do so. It wasn't to beat the shit out of him. It was to do that, and in doing that, you would beat him with the simple punches, like the long jab, a couple of shots here and there, and change
a couple of slaps here and there.
Whatever it was,
Klitschko's face was fucked up. Though.
When you're 6 foot, when you're six foot ten, Cole's whether it's a slap or whether it's a punch, it doesn't feel good.
All right, but call it right. His face, he said his face was fucked up. That was from headbutts.
Forget about the face fucked up. Both of their faces are probably fucked up later in the night. When you fight with 8 and 10 ounce gloves, your face is fucked up 6 hours after the fight, 100%. Regardless of how you end up looking like.
I saw both of them after the fights. Okay. They're both fucked up, but those cuts were from
a fight. Fight. So let's not. Let's pretend we did this before. We don't judge fights based on how guys look at the end of fights. We're not amateurs here.
Right.
Okay. So but forget about judging the fight on based on anybody's face look like after the fight. Judging on what you saw, what we saw, and what I was seeing was a very well-executed plan by Tyson Fury. And people are going to say, it wasn't exciting. It was this. You know what was exciting to me about the fight was the fact that Tyson was able to, every round, consistently execute the game plan and remain disciplined, because it's not easy to remain that disciplined in front of 65,000 people for 12 rounds straight and hold that kind of pace, which is a very non-exciting pace at times. You know, sometimes you want to bite down and say, you know what, I want to give this more. I want to step on the gas a little more. But stepping on the gas a little more would have been against the game plan, against the run of play that Fury had planned. So I have to say, Fury, for me, boxed very well. And when I watched the fight, I just thought about what everybody had said, and I said, it's just unfortunate. Most people don't know shit about boxing. You know, this wasn't because everybody that watches a boxing match is always looking for somebody to get their ass kicked. And sometimes in boxing, you don't win based on somebody getting their ass kicked. You win on somebody pecking away and disrupting rhythm. And even pecking away, guys, punches are punches are punches, and they all hurt. Maybe guys who throw bombs hurt more than others, but no punches tickle, which is why we do the fighting, and 99.9% of you watch instead of fight. That's my breakdown of Tyson Fury vs. Klitschko, and I thought Tyson did a very, very good job. Again, was it the most exciting fight? No. But for me, it was exciting because as a fighter, I understood exactly what he was doing, and just watching him pull it off every single round and being intelligent about it, and he was able to do it the whole way, I remain impressed.
He's still moving the whole fight.
Wait a second. You're right, but Vlad made it fucking easy.
No, Tyson made it hard.
No. He didn't hold his fucking ground ever.
It's not easy to hold your ground when you get a guy who sometimes is punching, sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's changing.
Didn't have the height
He's changing stances. He doesn't have the height to hold his ground. There's a lot that goes into holding your ground. You also get a Tyson Fury that's not always committing. So holding your ground only works if the guy's committing on his offense. You know what I mean? Tyson's not always committing. So holding your ground with a catch and shoot or that kind of mentality is still going to be difficult when a guy's not committing enough and he's taller than you. You know what I mean? So again, you know, then you pick your spot to hold your ground and he doesn't step in enough. Then you don't hold your ground and maybe he steps in that time and you're like, man, I should have held my ground. So it's a lot that goes on because every single exchange is different. It's a different way of Tyson stepping in. Tyson's varying the way he's stepping in. Tyson is also changing stances, which looks like for no apparent reason, but it was for a very good reason. Even if he wasn't doing anything out of the south. Just the fact that he was changing angles, even defensively, he was changing angles. He would step in and put his head in Vladimir's chest, but now he wouldn't really work. He would just force Vladimir to step back because his head was down underneath Vladimir in his chest. So Vladimir wanted to step back to create punching room. Then Tyson would come back out.
And because he got butted.
Yeah. And then Tyson would step back out. Now Tyson's a taller guy. He steps back out. Now it's up to Vladimir to have to step back in. Again, now he lost the ground. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of ways of gaining real estate, a lot of crafty, subtle ways to gain real estate that don't involve always punching a guy in the face. There's a craftiness involved in there. And unfortunately, there are guys that watch boxing every fucking week that don't get it. They just don't get it. You know what I mean? And those are the things Tyson was doing. You would expect everything to affect a fight is to be a punch. And everything that affects a fight is not always a punch. And Tyson Fury demonstrated the subtle things, subtle ways of winning rounds, of winning a fight, and of course he mixed in some punches.
You know what was crazy? When Vlad
mixed in some punches.
Vlad, yeah, of course, punches at the end of the day. You have to mix in some punches in the fight.
But you noticed Vlad in the 12th?
All of a sudden, he had a sense of urgency.
But yeah. Like, dude, you wait to the 12th round? Yeah. Why?
Where's that sense of urgency? Yeah. In the second half of the fight?
That works both ways, because Tyson Fury also knows he's got the fight won, so he's going to take even less chances. So,
but,
yeah.
Maybe
Klitschko's, you say, oh, Klitschko could have done this the whole fight. Could he have? Or was Tyson just himself off the gas pedal? Because I put myself in Tyson's shoes in round 12.
No,
after I've done a massive piece of a job, I'm not going to take a risk in round 12. I'm going to let you take the risk in round 12.
Right, but he was just trying. Like,
right.
Jumping in with the hooks.
Yeah.
Wait, he was hesitant the whole time.
Well, that's why we got a rematch now.
Well,
so
it's not like he was landing them, though.
Yeah, but
he did.
Interesting, though, because that's why we got the rematch. And I, you know what? I look forward to the rematch.
I just look at it like, I'm sorry, Seth. You
got to do
it. But you're a champ for this many years, and you're literally letting it slip away, and you're not doing no adjustments.
No sense of urgency.
There's no sense of urgency. But like Paulie said, it's easy for us as viewers to say, oh, he could be doing this, he should be doing that. When the guy's feinting you and changing the distance and changing his rhythm and giving you different looks, it is hard. But you got to do something.
Try.
Yeah, you got to do something. And, you know, there's been times where you said,
take a risk.
Yeah, you said, you know what, at the end of the day,
he was trying. He was misstepping. He was stepping in when he should have stepped out. He was stepping out when he should have stepped in. He was trying. He was confused. He was overthinking. It got to the point when you're frustrated, you overthink, and you just make the wrong moves. It's not that you're not trying. You're making the wrong moves out of frustration.
Oh, he was very frustrated.
And then when you make the wrong move, you can't throw a punch from that wrong move.
Oh, that's another one.
Go ahead.
This is great. You would think, I know he's your fucking guy, he's my guy too, but Jesus Christ, is he ever going to correct somebody, or does he not get it himself? Roy Jones goes along with Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman's like, Roy, I think at this point, it's like muscle memory. Vladimir's so used to going backward that when they're on the inside, he's not working. Because he's used to always holding, and you know, so muscle memory, he's not used to this. And Roy's like, yeah, that's right, 100%. He won always, the bigger guy who tying the guy up. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Muscle memory? What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
It doesn't even make sense. And Roy is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters ever. He doesn't say... Max, no, he's actually very frustrated, so he's like...
He might have woke Roy up from a nap at that point. Roy might have been taking a little nap.
Might have. You know. Might have. What were you going to say, bro?
I don't remember. No, I said it. I said he didn't have a sense of urgency. Like, where he had the last round, he started throwing punches. Like, I understand what Paulie, and I feel like I'm being educated. What Paulie says makes a lot of sense, and Tyson had a great game plan. I also thought he was psychologically getting in the head of Klitschko fight.
Yeah.
Just messing with him, and I thought it worked.
But that shouldn't work. I'm sorry.
But
that it shouldn't work.
You know what
when
plays
you've been
a big
fighting
factor,
that
though?
This
but
long?
But it did.
Yeah, and you're in Germany, those people there for you, the guy fucking talking to you or whatever he's doing, that shouldn't get in your head. I'm sorry. You're 39 years old. You've been doing this for a long fucking time.
What plays a big factor into it, though, is he's a heavyweight and he looks for one big shot. He's not... He doesn't...
I don't think he does.
He wasn't going to throw combinations. You
Vlad?
Feel me? Like, you don't see him throw, like, a 3-4-5 punch combination.
Of course.
You know? So his urgency
was... there was no setup.
There
was no setup at all.
But there's usually never a setup. It's a stiff
jab. It's a timing.
And
it's
then
a timing.
Boom,
yeah,
right hand.
Of course. But how come? Where was the jabs to the body? Where was the jabs to the shoulder?
Do you guys remember before he got knocked out?
He didn't have the height.
Where was just a right hand just to touch him and then pop a jab straight forward to close the distance? But he didn't have any fucking. He had the guy on the ropes and let him out every time.
But do you guys remember when he
was on the ropes? Was when Fury was going left. He was going right. He was putting his head down in his chest. When a guy puts his head down in your chest, your automatic instinct is either to lean on him or to step back and create that room, because by putting his head in your chest, he's taking away your punching space. So you either lean on his head and force a break, or if you want to continue the action, because now you're behind. And this is why Klitschko wasn't pushing him down sometimes. He's stepping back because he doesn't want to waste time getting in that clinch. That's what I mean about Klitschko was trying. He's stepping back, trying to create that punching room instantly instead of waiting on a break. But when he would step back, Fury would just pop right back up to where he just was and step out. So again, it was the disruption of rhythm, of timing. And I thought Fury did a magnificent job. Maybe it wasn't the most exciting for some people. It was hard to understand for most people.
Yeah, of course.
But it was very well executed. And let me tell you something. If Tyson Fury could have pictured the fight in his mind, the way he had planned it, and the way it would go if he was a perfect knight, that's exactly what he had planned. He didn't have planned to walk through Klitschko and knock him out. He didn't have planned to put on this spectacular performance. What he had planned was exactly what he did. He executed it to a T.
Well, you know what? I'll give him credit for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe two things.
Well, it's undefeated.
Fuck that. He sucks, dude. But listen. he called them out on their shit. They had like 5 inches of extra thick foam.
Padding. Klitschko likes for you to stand there so he can dictate.
Well, that also shows you that Tyson had no plans to sit there and slug anyway. So,
because
he wanted that box.
Yeah, but it's crazy because Klitschko does this more than we assume. Like, you know, unfortunately with boxing, there's no rules. So the rings can be different sizes. The foam on the and the padding on the canvas can be different in different spots.
But
when I worked Saddam Ali's fight, on the undercard, the co-main event of Vladimir Klitschko versus Brian Jennings,
right.
I walked into the ring with Saddam. The only time I had seen a ring that soft was when I fought Miguel Cotto. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally stepped in the ring for Saddam's fight against Angelo Santana. Was Angelo Santana? And
Francisco,
whatever his name was. It was on a co-feature of Vladimir Klitschko and Brian Jennings. Bro, I was like, wow, this thing's like quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
This is like legit, like kills your legs in 2 rounds type
you
of thing.
You could take a nap. It's like a Sealy posture.
Like, I was like, wow, what a bunch of scumbags they are at Madison Square Garden. That the both times I've seen these soft-ish rings, it's been at Madison Square Garden both times. But anyway, forget about them because we're not even talking about them. The bottom line is obviously Klitschko was doing this in Germany too. Unlike the team I had when I fought Miguel Cotto, though, Tyson Fury has a team that actually fought for him. And they fought for him, and what happened,
That's
Pete?
One thing I like. They actually got to the point where they said, then the fight's off. And they were at a standstill.
Changed the padding, the
they
foam in the ring.
They took the fucking padding out.
Yeah,
and
the padding has to be normal. We're not saying there's no padding in the ring. All rings have some sort of padding.
It's for safety.
It has to be normal padding, though. It's for safety, because if a guy gets knocked out cold, he falls on the padding, and he doesn't fall on a piece of wood, plywood.
It's not to alter
It's not
your
to alter
movement.
The movement.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So they force them to change the padding to a normal padding in the boxing ring.
What is normal?
Normal is like where you don't feel like you're in quicksand when you're stepping.
2 inches,
you know?
An inch, maybe two.
Yeah. Versus five.
Nah, even two is a lot.
Yeah, versus, I would say an inch.
Say an inch.
Because it's like plywood
underneath, and then you got to put a piece of padding.
And then you put padding. So because it plywood
props,
gives you that little.
But props balance. To Tyson Fury and his team, because when I fought Cotto, I didn't know that these things happened. You know, I literally found out when I stepped in the ring. And I was like, whoa, this thing is soft. And earlier that day, my brother had called me,
Peter,
about the size of the ring. He had called me and Peter, and he said, bro, I'm at the Garden right now. It was like lunchtime. And he's like, this is like the smallest ring I've ever seen. You know, you should tell, you know, we should get on this, man. Paulie shouldn't be fighting Cotto in this ring tonight. And
I made a phone call.
Peter calls one of my many winners that I've had involved on my team that, you know, this is why through
anymore.
The years you evolve as a fighter and as an intelligent person, because you go from one dumbass to the next on your team. So Peter calls my manager at the time. Go ahead.
And I was basically, the long and short of it was told, well, it's fight day, buddy. We got to fight.
Yeah.
I'm like,
buddy, I don't need this.
He like, don't give a shit, right? He just wants his percent.
Yeah, he goes, I don't need this, buddy. We got to fight, and it's fight day. Of course you don't need this, bro.
Paulie's
You're not the one
brother,
getting in the ring with the killer.
Paulie's brother's calling me. I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm calling you, because I spoke to him.
So, you know, I just told Peter, I remember telling Peter, you know what, we got to fight, screw it, you know, let's do it. But, you know, ultimately, in a fight that was decided by 3 or 4 points at the end of it, and, you know, you never know what could be or not be. So, your team taking care
and
of things.
And that brings up my original point. Yeah. The way you fought Cotto, Vlad could have showed a little bit more fucking balls, bro. I'm sorry.
Again, Vlad
tried a little harder.
Whatever the case is,
he's fought like
obviously,
afraid to be knocked
obviously
out.
That particular manager is long gone from my team, yes. as are many people through the years.
And credit to Tyson Fury's team.
Credit to Tyson Fury and his team, who, in their first mega fight like this,
yeah,
stood their ground.
Didn't back off and get intimidated, but stood their ground. Fought for their guy.
And risked a big
even if he was
payday.
A big underdog. Fought for their guy, even if he was a big underdog, because they knew that. If their guy could win, they'd have hit the lotto ticket. Unlike my team back then, who were basically proved to me that showed up for a check and didn't want to risk the fight falling through on the day of the fight and not get a check. So instead of thinking, well, let's give our guy a best chance to win, let's just collect this check and we'll go home. Because, you know, we don't care if Paulie wins or not. He probably can't win. So credit to Tyson Fury's team for believing in him, arguing with him, going to bat for him, and allowing him to execute that full game plan on fight night and winning the heavyweight championship of the world. And that's why we're talking about this right now, is because Tyson Fury is the heavyweight champion of the world.
He did.
And
there's one thing that people are going to say, oh, like somebody like Dan Rayfield's a moron. Oh, I don't think anybody won the fight because nothing happened. Tyson won almost every fucking round.
No doubt.
There's no doubt about it. Even though I don't like the guy, some people just rub me the wrong way. He happens to. He won almost every fucking round.
Who's going to win the rematch?
Wait, before I get to that.
Okay.
There's a list full of people that knock him the fuck out. I don't care, disagree with me or not. Anthony Joshua is still young and up and coming. He knocks him out within a few rounds. David Haye. Thank you for that. You want to wipe that on my face? David Haye.
Hey.
Is coming, is making a comeback. Obviously, the height difference is a tremendous gap, but as far as talent, athletic ability, you've never seen a 6'3" guy like David Haye.
No.
David Haye will starch him and fucking crush him.
I think the size is a great
fight and an exciting fight would be Deontay Wilder and Fury, and I lean towards Deontay Wilder. And I'll tell you why. Because he takes chances. It may get him fucking hurt himself, but he's going to go in there throwing fucking punches. And it's going to put pressure on Fury. He's not going to have this 12 rounds of having to only defend against fucking 40 punches in 12 rounds. No. It's going to be 20 punches a round. Easy. And that's a big difference. It's an uncomfortable pace, and that's not something that I think he can handle. That's the difference. He gets his fucking ass kicked by all those guys. Credit to him, he won. Whatever his game plan was, he did it. And to me, like I said, I thought it's really fault to Vlad and not discredit Tyson. Because Tyson, whatever game plan you come up with your team, he achieved it. I fought Vlad for fucking just basically letting his title just go to waste like that. But I see a lot of people that beat Tyson.
It says Joshua sparred with a Fury and bashed him up a little bit in sparring.
Of course he did. Are you fucking kidding me?
You know it's a good heavyweight fight?
What?
David Haye, Brian Jennings.
It is a good heavyweight fight.
Brian Jennings is fighting.
He's fighting the Cuban.
Ortiz. Yeah, that's a good fight too.
Mm-hmm. That's a good fight.
What fights we got this coming up?
David Haye has a good fight at the O2 Arena.
Quillen Jacobs.
When is his fight?
The week after ours.
Oh, nice.
19th. It might be in January. I'm sorry. Don't quote me.
Yeah.
Don't quote me.
It probably is in January. Anyway, we have a big fight this weekend in Barclays Center. I'm working it. I actually have to go to a Showtime production meeting right after this. It's Quillen versus Jacobs. And you know, we got some good fights on the undercard. Chris Algieri versus Eric Bonet. Will Rosinski versus Joe Smith, a big local grudge match. And Jesus Cuellar against Jonathan Oquendo. So it's a good card. Everybody tune in. I got to get out of here. Honestly, we have to get out of here. I got a production meeting to get to.
I think the whole card, like, we know everybody on the card.
Yeah, well, that's usually the case with local cards like this, yeah.
I'm excited about it.
We are. And on that note, we're going to wrap up episode 32. We gave you a little bit of politics. We gave you a little bit of boxing. Next week, we're going to attempt to try to give you an episode right after my weigh-in, because I definitely won't be able to talk before the weigh-in. We'll be watching Champions League in London. Well, me and Junior will. Peter won't get to London until later in the week.
Before we leave, I'm showing you something before.
What are you
16
doing?
FIFA officials indicted.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
On charges, including racketeering, money laundering, and wire fraud.
Get to that on another episode for sure. These guys want to also expand the World Cup to 40 teams.
Don't forget
Bunch
about
of
the gifts.
Scumbags. Go ahead.
Don't forget
Close
about the
us out with the gifts. Close us out
gifts.
With the gifts.
Get the CX7 Ronaldo soccer cleats.
CR7.
CR7?
CR7.
Yeah, CRX.
It's his initials, bro. It's not that hard.
What's his name?
Cristiano.
What sport does he play?
Ronaldo.
Yeah. Soccer cleats. You score like 7 goals. You wear
Football.
These cleats.
Boom.
Guaranteed.
Except if you're sugar.
Raging Bull DVD. Goodfellas DVD. These links are hot in our description if you're on
Raging
iTunes.
Raging Bull DVD. My girl was warming me up pasta the other day. I said,
oh,
you overcook it. It's no good. Defeats its own purpose. Bring it over.
Bring it over.
It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
Anyway.
He was training for a fight, right?
He was done, actually.
And for iTunes, you hit view full description. You'll see the links in there.
Boom. On that note, that's episode 32. We'll see you next week for episode 33 from London. We're going to try to do it after the weigh-in, if we can.
We'll try our best, mates.